joy to be able to celebrate the Mass in the ancient Roman Rite. The Holy Father chose the Feast of the Exaltation, Triumph of the Holy Cross, as the day to initiate this particular restoration. Triumph of the Holy Cross was matched earlier in the old calendar by the Feast of the Finding of the Cross. They're essentially the same, representing two different events and two different historical events: the finding of the Holy Cross buried under the rubble of Mount Calvary, rubble deliberately brought to be by the Romans under Trajan in the year 135. The cross was found by St. Helena with some miraculous help from heaven, guiding those doing the excavation to the right spot. You can see at least a third of that cross still remains in the Church of the Holy Cross in Jerusalem, not in Jerusalem, but said to be in Jerusalem, in Rome, the one-time palace of St. Helena. The other event, of course, was the recovery of the Holy Cross by the Eastern Emperor Heraclitus in the year 632 or thereabouts, after it had been taken away from Jerusalem during a victory of the Persians, who were great enemies of the Byzantines. To celebrate that occasion, the feast of the 14th of September was on the Triumph of the Holy Cross. In both cases, the finding of the Holy Cross, that's the finding of the wisdom of God, the discovery of that light which guides us surely to heaven, the way of the cross, the only way that reaches and goes through the pearly gates. The Triumph of the Holy Cross, our sharing, the victory, triumph, our sharing in the victory of Christ, not over politicians, but over the prince of the world. Now is the prince of this world, and I, if I be lifted up, will draw all things to myself. The suffering of Christ is his glory. This is the point that is so difficult for his contemporaries. We can feel their wrath, the resentment in the way they cry, "Who is this thing? Who the heck are you?" To pretend, as it were, that the Christ who must endure forever is going to be lifted up on the cross. They knew perfectly well what he was alluding to, and they knew what they were intended to do to him within a week. This discourse occurred on Palm Sunday, the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but the triumph is going to be the cross. And for this, our Lord prepared both the apostles and us with the miracle of the Transfiguration. The triumph begins with the incarnation. A little child is God. Not the humanity here and the divinity over there. This one person, in becoming man, has already laid the foundation. The essence of human glory is there, though it is veiled by the smallness, the weakness, and the capacity to suffer and die for us. But that changes the whole meaning of suffering and death. No longer a seal on the power which Satan holds over the whole world in each of us because of original sin and our personal sins. Suffering is the means of life, and this is the point that requires faith. You cannot argue to that from reason. You cannot experience that merely in a natural way. It is our faith in the person of our Lord and in his promises. He can do what he promises to do. He too rose from the dead. But note well, the glory is not simply the resurrection. The glory is the lifting up on the cross. Those who put him to death said, "Well, if you don't come down, we win." Our Lord did not oblige them by coming down so that they could crucify him again. He remained and died, and on the third day rose. Therefore, the suffering itself, the death itself, is the exaltation, the glorification. We glory only in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That was the entrance antiphon that began the Mass after the incensations. O Porta Gloriae, in Cruce Domini Nostri Jesu, in quae salus nostra et resurrectio, in which is our salvation and our resurrection. And that is what we are asked to believe. And this is what our Lord asks all, walk while you have the light. What is the light? It is the cross. And therefore, it is the most precious treasure. It is worth risking loss of life in a battle to recover that most precious relic. That is what inspired Heraclitus. That is what inspired the mother of Constantine, who was a saint, Saint Helena, to find it. Gold and silver, all the wealth of this world, is nothing. Is, as St. Paul says in another place, stercora, dung, compared to the cross of our Lord and Savior. We glory in this, not in any sentimental, emotional way, because we do believe and we do hope and we know we will not be disappointed. And therefore, in the passage from traditional for this feast, from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians, the great hymn that occurs so often in the breviary now, but also was used so frequently in the past, is the exhortation to the Philippians to be humble, to be virtuous, to be holy. Don't worry about whether you're going to go bankrupt. No, we don't want to. Don't worry if you lose the next election trying to promote Christ. Don't worry if they lop your heads off. Our Lord promised he'd put them on better than ever. And he hinted about what he was going to do to those who lop them off and are not converted by the example of the martyrs. But the essential thing is to keep in mind and have in mind, that is how the reading began, what was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, that means consubstantial, St. Paul's anticipation of Nicaea, and had every right to be honored, not only in his divinity, but in his humanity, because it is the human nature of the Son of God. And nonetheless, he emptied himself, for he forewent all honors. He was born of his mother, the queen, but he was born in a stable and conceived in the solitude of Nazareth. He worked as a carpenter with St. Joseph. He had not a place to rest his head. He was threatened several times with stoning, but it was not his hour, and he walked through their midst. In all of this, we see what it means to end. It means to become, first of all, the child of Mary. That is the emptying of the Son of God. Become a little child, simple and humble. I thank thee, Father, of St. Matthew records in his Gospel, the 11th, I thank thee thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent of this world, but hast revealed them to the merest of children. Who are the merest of children? Those who are children of Mary, period. And if we also are lifted up by Christ on the cross, if, as St. Paul says, we live the wisdom of the cross in our lives, we are willing, as it were, to lose our lives rather than betray our faith, either in word or in deed, that we too will begin to share his glory, despite what the worldly mind judges to be appearance. That is because the worldly mind does not have that humility, above all, that humility of mind, of intellect, to honor the word of God. Walk while you have the light. The word of God became flesh, became the child of Mary. He is the light of the world. This man is light. He is not simply enlightened and brilliant. He is the light by which all men are enlightened. And he is above all that in the victory of the cross. In that moment, that last moment, when he gave us his mother as our mother. That is part of the triumph, and this is why our Lord at Fatima to the Sister Lucy in Pew, in Spain rather, confirms what our mother, he is the one who wants the triumph of the Immaculate Heart so that we might share that triumph. And therefore have this mind in you. Become a little child of Mary. Become that new man created in justice and sanctity of truth by becoming the child of Mary. Become the child of the church, a member of the church. And then you will appear initially like Jesus, clothed in the garment, like the one that I have underneath the robes of the priest. Raised. The habit represents that new man whose body, the habit, the vesture, Mary formed in her womb. She provided the body. She provided the blood that was poured out for us and we still have through her in this wonderful sacrament, in this continuation of the sacrifice of Calvary. Obedient, as he was obedient to his father, God was obedient to his mother, even to the death on the cross. That is the ultimate conclusion of genuine fidelity. And therefore, God the Father has given him a name above every other name. This is the triumph of the Holy Cross. That the name of the Son of Man, that is God who has become man, but also Son of Man means in becoming the child of Mary, he becomes the child of Adam. It's another way of saying God is this man. That every knee, and this is why we genuflected at that point, every knee in heaven, the angels, on earth, the human family, and even under the earth, the devils in hell, though they don't want to, they scream and holler, they have to acknowledge Christ is boss. And every tongue confess that in being exalted in Christ, Jesus is in the glory of the Father at the right hand, never to die again, always interceding for us, and that our liturgy, our sacrifice, is also the sacrifice of the angels and the saints in heaven. We are all united together. This is what the triumph of the Holy Cross is all about. And therefore we can conclude with that other passage from St. Paul that in the intro at Opera, we should glory only in the cross of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We should not be sad because we are humiliated. We should not be sad because we have to sweat and work hard and are persecuted. We should simply smile and go on with life. The most they can do is take off your head. And that's very, very little compared to what Jesus can do. It is not only the wisdom, it is the power of the cross. It is the very goodness of God. It's a paradox. But all the basic truths, the mysteries of faith, are paradoxes. Not because they're illogical, irrational, but because they are beyond our ordinary ken. Human science, human technology cannot figure it out, much less imitate. No one expects somebody who is nailed to a cross to be anything else but a corpse forever. And that's exactly what did not happen. So we can all, as it were, thank Our Lady for the wonderful gift that she has given to us, the way in which she was compassionate. Tomorrow will be the feast, the seven dolors of Our Lady. As we celebrated and sort of stressed the suffering of Christ and Mary in Holy Week, and also the feast of the Holy Cross, Good Friday, so here we want to, not say another feast, it's the same feast, but we recognize the glory. We recognize we don't separate the humble human nature and the divinity. The humble human nature is a glorious nature, even in the humility, even in what the old Latin authors called the passibility, capacity to suffer. It is not as though God gave away his glory even in his humanity, but rather, as it were was able to transform that which seems, as it were, so inhuman, so frightful. The cross is no longer the symbol of cruelty. This is the cross is the symbol of the goodness and the love which our dear Savior and therefore his Heavenly Father have for us, that we know not only theoretically but also experientially when we are sanctified by the Holy Spirit, whose instrument is Our Lady, effectively through her maternal mediation. It is she who helps us to join her, to stand by the altar, to stand by the cross, and one day to rejoice in heaven with all the angels and the saints. Praise be Jesus and Mary.